Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. When Edward Snowden exposed layers of government surveillance in 2013, it changed nearly everything. Now, Cody Drolls is a PhD student at the University of Missouri, and he presents Bad Bureaucrats, the Future of Whistleblowing in a Post-Snowden World. You can see it Thursday at 4 p.m. at Black Hill State University. That's part of Black Hill State's Geek Speak Lecture Series. Cody joins us now from Spearfish. Welcome to In the Moment, Cody.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate your time.
Now, you are a graduate of Black Hill State, is that correct?
I am. I am an alumni of Black Hill State University, May 2015, graduated part of the University Scholars Program.
All right. So are you excited to be back for the Geek Speak? Because that seems like something that you might aspire to when you were an undergrad.
Yes. I loved attending the Geek Speaks every Wednesday. So it's really nice to come back and be on the other side of the desk there and present some of my own thoughts.
All right, so let's talk about the word whistleblower at first, because I think it's only fair to say not everyone considers Edward Snowden a whistleblower. Some would say simply that he committed treason or that he was a hero if you went in that direction. So there are lots of different ways of looking at Snowden. How do you sort of see him?
Right, so Snowden considers himself a whistleblower. Very recent talks that he's given, he calls himself a whistleblower and says, I'm entitled to the same protections that other whistleblowers have. So you have like the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, and then you also have the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act, which was passed in 2012. So he falls under those guidelines. But then sort of at the end of Obama's administration, Joshua Ernst, who was the press secretary, was talking with reporters and said, well, no, Snowden is not a whistleblower. He went outside the official process that was set up, so he is not entitled to the protections that he has. He disclosed information, but did it in a manner that was outside of the agency, went to the news media, and so he's not a whistleblower in the eyes of the government. But in terms of how scholars see whistleblowers, somebody who's trying to affect change, Snowden does meet that definition.
Let's go ahead and provide some context for people who maybe need a refresher course on who he was and what exactly he revealed.
Yeah, so Edward Snowden, he was a employee of Booz Allen Hamilton, which is located in, well, the office that was located in Hawaii. So he's not technically a direct employee of the NSA, but he was a contractor, and Booz Allen Hamilton is one of the main contracting agencies that the NSA works with. So he was essentially a bureaucrat who had access to a lot of information. He was a system administrator, so he worked with moving information around. So he had essentially full access to everything, top-level security clearance, and he worked to get that information out. So reports say he sort of started pulling this information in 2012, but it's really hard to know when he started downloading it and was simply moving stuff onto flash drives. And then from there, he turned information over to The Guardian. And that really put The Guardian on the map as sort of a model for external whistleblowing or whistleblowing to the media.
So what is he finding that he believes needs to be revealed as an act of public service?
Yeah, so Snowden has this very altruistic sense. He's quoted as saying, my goal is not to hurt anybody or harm anybody. My goal is transparency. So he came across documents that specifically the program where basically scraping text messages, all the information there, metadata, so it's very easy to learn about people that way. The most notable and the leak that he provided, and the one that's still talked about heavily, is the court order that Verizon was asked to turn over phone records of its customers. And he said, well, this violates basic civil rights, basic privacy, and this is something that the public needs to know about. So although he did have a top-level security clearance and swore to keep the secrets, he broke that oath in favor of public interest.
And what has he said about those official channels that he's accused of not following? What are his thoughts on why he went the path that he did?
Yeah, so the official channels fail whistleblowers quite often. So Snowden really took the example of Daniel Ellsberg, who was the former Defense Department advisor who leaked the Pentagon Papers in 1971, went straight to independent journalists with key documents. And the reason Snowden went to the external channels rather than those internal channels, like every agency has an office of the Inspector General who handles these cases, or there's the Office of Special Counsel, which is outside the NSA. But Snowden chose to go outside, and Thomas Drake is that perfect example of why he went outside. So Thomas Drake doesn't really get talked about quite often, but he was an employee of the NSA who was trying to expose essentially the same programs that Snowden exposed about 10 years beforehand. And he was rewarded with having his house raided in 2007, basically being discredited by his agency, and then forced down to working as an Apple employee after that. So loyalty to the internal channels is often met with punishment.
So what, it's probably difficult to sum up in a short period of time or overstate the impact of the leaks and what happens next. And before we go into that area, I want to know when you started getting interested in this topic, and what is it about Snowden that still sort of intrigues you?
Yeah, I guess I can't really pinpoint a specific time that interests me in this topic. My research is mostly in terms of administrative politics and sort of government accountability, and whistleblowers are sort of that mechanism for accountability that are very important. We tend to really focus on the high level ones like Edward Snowden, but within any given agency, there are quite a few whistleblowers, but they're sort of routine, saying, well, so-and-so was doing something wasteful today, and they're technically a whistleblower. But these high-level ones have the potential to create massive change. So following Snowden, he creates this very interesting case that sort of catches my eye. We have all these changes that are happening around the world in terms of protecting whistleblowers, but then we never think about, well, we can protect them, but what happens if we cease to have them? And that's sort of my interest in Snowden, is what are those changes that he started within the security apparatus that will probably prevent large-scale leaks like that from ever happening again?
All right, so give me an example.
Yeah, so the crux of my talk is that internal threat detection, or insider threat detection as often known, that software was in place prior to Snowden's leak, but it wasn't as prevalent and as strong. And so basically what I'm arguing is that instead of focusing on those protections for whistleblowers, saying we need to make sure they're not punished like Thomas Drake, they don't end up that same way, that we're providing them with an open environment to make those disclosures, and that, like, the Guardian setting up new channels for disclosures, I want to focus on the changes that the security apparatus is making. That software then, essentially, it works, there's two types of it. The first is behavioral analytics, which is kind of the cool stuff that if you have a credit card, that's how they essentially figure out if your shopping patterns don't line up, you'll get flagged. And that's essentially how behavioral analytics software works. So if your job says you should be looking at documents X, Y, and Z from this time to this time in the day, but you're looking at documents A, B, and C, you've sort of gone off course. And it's going to flag you. So Snowden would have been, he would have worked around that software because everything he was pulling was part of his official duty.
Right.
He was meant to transfer information from one server to another. But then the other side of internal threat detection is to prevent data acquisition in the first place. So that's when you plug a flash drive into the computer, it instantly alerts your supervisor, or it just shuts you out of the process completely.
Wow.
And that's sort of the stuff that I'm interested and focused on, is that, well, as a whistleblower, you are not credible if you don't have evidence.
Right.
So if you can't get the evidence out of your agency, then you're not taken seriously. And the reason Snowden was so successful is that he took upwards of 1.7 million documents, released 200,000 of them, still has 1.5 million. So when the U.S. government attempted to discredit him, mm-hmm. he could provide documentation after documentation that said, no, you're lying, and I can show why you're lying.
So this is, I'm thinking of the difference between a whistleblower and a hacker. If you just completely shut it down for the regular employee who's accessing data that and saving it as he shouldn't be, collecting it and releasing it, versus someone who has to figure out how to get around that insider threat detection. Am I on the right track? Am I thinking there?
Yeah, you're thinking correctly there. There is a big difference between hackers and internal threats. Internal threats are definitely not hackers. They are inside employees. They're the people you work with. So they don't have to hack a firewall, break something down with sophisticated code, because what Snowden was doing was relatively simple. He did have scraping software that went and crawled servers for information, but he didn't have to break through any passwords, so there was no hacking involved.
Right. So corporations, governments want to keep their secrets secret, but yet, you know, we want transparency and democracy. How does that all intersect as it relates to someone like Snowden in the future?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, and one that I'm still wrestling with myself. Whistleblowers, I argue, are necessary for accountability. They expose corruption, they expose illegal acts, they expose wasteful activities, civil rights abuses. And in a democracy, those sorts of actions by a government are sort of counter to the definition of democracy, of rule by the people, and yet you spy on your own people. But that future then of whistleblowers and securing democratic accountability, I'm not sure exactly where we're going. Right. I'm afraid that they'll sort of be shut out of the process and not taken seriously, especially if the security state does succeed in cutting off that information supply.
What about just the other deterrents? I mean, obviously Edward Snowden is not living in a beach house in Florida right now. He's suffering maybe more than Thomas Drake or somebody else. What about that as a deterrent for people who are potential large-scale whistleblowers? Did that make a difference, basically, of how he's been portrayed?
Yeah, I think it definitely does, because the government does not portray Snowden as a hero. Mm-mm. They don't use the word treason. Politicians will use the word treason, but the Obama administration never used that talk, and I don't think the Trump administration has really talked about Snowden as of now. He's sort of, I guess, been left on the side of the table.
Cody, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still
okay.
There.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're fine. Sort of collecting a couple thoughts.
Yeah, me too. This is a big topic. And if you're just joining us, Cody Drolls is he's a PhD student at the University of Missouri and a graduate of Black Hill State. He's going to be at the Black Hill State University Geek Speak Lecture Series. That's Thursday at 4 Mountain Time. And I'm sure you're going to attract a crowd that is going to do the same thing we did there. Just so much to think about and contemplate and ponder. And my mind is going to the, current president administration and dealing with leaks coming out of meetings and how people are talking to the media and spreading information so quickly that it, in some ways it's almost impossible to stop that human whistleblowing or leaking of information, I guess. Very interesting times that we're living in.
Yeah, and the Trump administration really is having a problem. And that's one thing that I'm trying to distinguish between is the difference between a leaker and a whistleblower.
Right.
A whistleblower makes leaks, but a leaker doesn't necessarily want to affect change. So the Trump administration, specifically Sean Spicer's office, is having, they had a document about leakers that was leaked. So they're having really big problems with this, but those who are releasing those documents aren't really trying to affect policy change, whereas a whistleblower would be affecting policy change. And leakers are sort of low level, and they really don't have the formal legal protections that a whistleblower would have if they used the official channels.
Right. And then you have your saboteurs and your spies. And some people would argue Edward Snowden benefited from that, and that pushes him into a different category. So a complicated figure, really intriguing stuff, Cody.
Yes, very complicated figure, intriguing. I'm not sure where he's going to end up.
Right.
He's still in Russia. The current administration, I don't see them ever forgiving him. Obama, at the very end of his presidency, did commute Chelsea Manning's sentence.
Right.
And that leak, it's hard to compare the Snowden and Manning leak, but they're very similar in terms of they were very large. Manning's leak does deal a bit more with the military side, so there's a bit more of a security issue with it, whereas Snowden's leak was more civilian-centered in that people could really understand how this affected me personally.
Right. All right, Cody, we're going to let you go and say thanks for your time and remind everybody he presents Bad Bureaucrats, the Future of Whistleblowing in a Post-Snowden World. That's Thursday at 4 at Black Hill State. It's a Geek Speak lecture. Cody Drolls, thanks so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.